The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Pleasant good afternoon. Welcome in. We hope you're having a good day. The basketball season has ended. We'll reflect back on what happened, but there is certainly a lot of news to get to. And one day, we hope soon, we will not be beginning our program with news from LSU, but unfortunately today there is more. Another major story in USA Today talking about what has been going on allegedly on the LSU campus. The LSU administration alleges retaliation. The athletic department administration claims years of harassment and retaliation after reporting its about Les Miles. This came out today, and it was another blockbuster in USA Today, and we will have the reporter, the reporter Kenny Jacoby, on in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, there is speculation that Ed Orgeron will send a written statement rather than testify. In fact, some media reports, including Ross Dellinger, already reporting the contents of that information, and we'll certainly be following that story very, very closely. One day we'll also be giving you good news from Knoxville. That will not be today, however. From the Knoxville News Sentinel, linebacker Aaron Beasley suspended indefinitely after cat abuse allegations. Meanwhile, another coach has been fired in Nashville. We saw Derek Mason fired earlier in the late in the fall, and today the women's basketball coach, Stephanie White, has been let go. Recently, three top players have transferred. We'll have more on that later as well. Mac Jones' draft stock keeps rising faster than the actual stock market, which is on an incredible roll these days. Todd McShay has moved Mac to the number three player taken overall. If that ends up being true, that will be literally, I know everybody wants to talk about Joe Burrow going from nowhere to number one. In some ways, this might be even more amazing. Trevor Zach Wilson to the Jets now that they've dumped Sam Darnold to the Panthers. And then according to this projection, which will change, by the way, Mac Jones, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase. Of course, he did not play last year. Devontae, Jalen, Surtain. Pretty familiar names on that board right there. Only four out of the top eight from Alabama. Only four. And Blake Topmeyer, who will be also joining us later today, has a couple of interesting ideas about SEC opponents should ditch spring games and play these opponents instead. And exactly who might they be? Blake, he will share more insight on that a little bit later on, but he has Alabama playing Georgia Tech. That used to be a traditional rival. Remember, Tech used to be in the SEC, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Auburn, Troy, LSU, Lafayette, and on and on and on. Thank you, Blake. Obviously, you have not been busy enough lately. We do like him very much, and he will join us in a couple of minutes. Let's talk about who will be here. Kenny Jacoby from USA Today on the latest allegations. Michael Eaves, University of Kentucky graduate. He'll join us live. That's not why he's on. He happens to be covering the Masters this week, but he is a big Blue fan. We may sneak a question in on that. And the aforementioned Blake Topmeyer, and who knows who else may drop on board. So that's where we are here on a very busy Tuesday afternoon. Let's get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And we begin with John in Louisville. Hey, John, thank you very much and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. My condolences to you and your bracket, by the way.
Thank you.
Anyways, I just want to compliment your show. You did a wonderful job during the playoffs with the analyst and with the guest, and it really kept us involved with the playoffs. I do appreciate that so much. And I also want to give out a shout out to the NCAA for all the things they do wrong. They really put on a hell of a good tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do best, John. And that has always been their calling card. And that's why it's worth billions of dollars. It's a fantastic event. And there really is nothing quite like it in any sport for that matter.
So I had Michigan against Baylor in my bracket, but of course Michigan lost that key player. I just thought Gonzaga's, they played in a very weak league. I didn't see them going all the way. But what I wanted to ask you a question about is, with this new transfer and, well, I guess it's a transfer portal rules, it just looks like the Wild West out there as far as transferees coming in and out. What do you see in the next few months or next 2 years with all these new rules?
Well, John, I mean, they will try to put some teeth back into it, but that's all. That's, you know, I mean, it's a, pick your cliche, but you know, once you let the the horses out of the barn,
the animals out of the
Hard. It's hard to get them back, and I think it will be very difficult for the NCAA to come back on that. I do appreciate your kind words, and thank you for the call. You be well, John. Christian is up next in Florida. Hey, Christian. Christian, you there?
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great, Christian. Good afternoon. Yeah, for some reason, Christian is not hearing us very well. We'll see if we can repurpose Christian in just a minute. Let me try Tim in Nashville. Tim, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I was wondering, do you think the Miami Hurricanes have a chance against Alabama in the first game of the season?
No, I don't. Do you?
I do. I think if Derek King can be healthy and if he can get the ball to his receivers, I do think that Miami can have a chance against Alabama. You know, we're returning almost all of our starters on offense. Our defense is getting a lot better, and with Manny Diaz even calling the plays.
Yeah, listen, I'm fully aware of what Alabama is losing, as is you, everyone else. But I don't think the two programs are particularly close right now. I'm not saying it's a 40-point game, but I'll be very surprised if that game isn't in double digits.
Gotcha. All right, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Another optimistic Miami fan. What a surprise. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Liv. Let's try Phil, who is in Nashville. Hey, Phil. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing great.
Well, fantastic. Paul, let me ask you something. This is something you probably can't answer, but I just want to get your opinion on what you think as of right now. We really don't know, we don't know anything right about this deal with LSU. But do you think that this could end up maybe end up getting a death penalty there, LSU, like they did SMU? I'm just curious. What do you think about that?
I do not, no. And you're right. Right now, I think it's a very prickly case, but I've yet to see anything that will tie the university. I mean, there has to be more that would have to come out before you could get to that. Right now, I think there clearly has been mismanagement, and I think it's going to be interesting. And I want you to listen to Kenny Jacoby here in a couple of minutes, because what he has to say, I think, will broaden the focus on this issue. But you know, a lot of these allegations are serious and they're ugly, but I don't know how the NCAA is going to tie it all together to even come down with sanctions, let alone the death penalty. I think that's not even on the table.
Well, Paul, could some of the coaches be in trouble? Could they come down with trouble?
Right now you've already had an independent law firm thoroughly investigated, and the only thing that has happened are two people have been suspended for 21 days and 30 days, and they're both back at work. Now, I think it'll be interesting to see whether these two individuals remain, but whether they remain or not, I know it's important to them and their families. But if that's as far as it goes, then this case will go away. But let me just allow the guest to comment first, because he's the one doing the investigating. I'm sitting behind a microphone with my feet propped up. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're up against the break. More to come. And I mentioned Kenny Jacoby will join us from USA Today. He is right around the corner, and we hope you'll stick around with us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, we welcome you back. And we mentioned before we came on, as we were coming on, about the latest from USA Today, another blockbuster in the publication today by our next guest, Kenny Jacoby, under the heading LSU Athletic Director and Minister Claims Years of Harassment and Retaliation After Reporting Les Miles. Kenny Jacoby joining us now. Kenny, thank you very much. And before we even start, I read earlier today that you and your team that have been working on these stories have won a very prestigious Investigative Reporter National Award. And I know you're not in this to win awards, but I'm sure you have to be gratified that you are being recognized as opposed to being harassed by angry fans.
It certainly feels good. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about this latest, because you know, this to me goes to a different level. Let's talk a little bit about Sharon Lewis, the person that you quote in here. She's the Associate Athletic Director for Football Recruiting. Is she still in that position? And then I would like you to go through exactly what she told you.
Yes, so Sharon still is in the same position. She's an Associate Athletic Director for Football Recruiting. And she is preparing to file a series of lawsuits against her bosses, against the LSU Board of Supervisors, against Taylor Porter Law Firm in Baton Rouge, the former president, F. King Alexander, and just a slate of other people who she says have retaliated against her, harassed her, and abused her ever since she reported Les Miles for sexual harassment 8 years ago. Les Miles was obviously accused of sexually harassing student workers who worked for Sharon Lewis. And Sharon says that Miles himself and other people in her office have basically engaged in this years-long retaliation against her over the fact that she reported these issues.
Kenny, there's some pretty inflammatory incidents that you recall in this article. I'm not asking you, it's a too long, I mean, we would spend the rest of the day going through the entire article, but in terms of some of the most serious things that she alleges, would you discuss those with our audience?
Yeah, so Sharon said that since basically Les Miles' first week on the job, he was pressuring her to sexualize her staff of student workers, and specifically to replace black workers on her staff with blonde white workers with large breasts. And when she would rebuff his efforts, he would get other people on the staff to pressure her into doing the same thing. And ultimately, he decided that he was going to take matters into his own hands and start personally interviewing them himself at night. This turned out to be a disaster right away, according to Sharon. She says that she had workers coming to her saying that Miles asked about their sex life in interviews, asked one of them if she was a virgin. And then it wasn't that long after that that student workers started coming to her and saying that Miles had sent them inappropriate text messages and made inappropriate sexual advances toward them. After that, after there was this investigation done by the Taylor Porter Law Firm that exonerated Miles, except they found his behavior to be inappropriate, just not prohibited sexual harassment under the law, she says that Miles continued to try and pressure her into, you know, hiring white blonde workers to her staff to attract football players.
And that when she would report these issues to people in the office, her supervisors, they would basically tell her to go get another job somewhere else to just deal with Miles. And it got to the point where some of them were verbally abusing her. Some of them were trying to undermine her. She said that when she was running for the president of the Athlete Alumni Association, her boss, Virg Osberry, told staff or board members not to vote for her, tried to prevent them from giving her all the powers of the presidency. And just as recently as this fall, she said that Osberry told her she would never get promoted because Woodward is his boy and he would never meet with her.
Now, Scott Woodward, for those who are confused in this story, he is the new athletic director. Not new. He's been there a year and a half, maybe 2 years by now, and he replaced Joe Oliva. Let me read a comment that you got from her, and I want you to talk about this for a second. This is in your article today, and this is from Mrs. Lewis, and she says this. I'm quoting now. They get to lie, and they get to admit that they lied and come back to work. I mean, it's about we've got to set a standard there, and that's all. And you write that she was denied pay raises, promotions, ridiculed in front of her coworkers, told to find another job when she complained, and she did suffer a breakdown. She's still working there, though, right?
She is still working there, and she plans to continue working there. She's saying in that comment, I believe, what she's referring to is the fact that she said she had been instructed for her entire almost 20 years working there that she was to report any sort of Title IX related issue to Miriam Seeger and Virg Osberry, to people who are her supervisors. But she didn't learn until much later that those two weren't always reporting things that she would report to them onto the Title IX office. So they would sort of die at her supervisor level. So I think that is one aspect of what she says is lying on their parts. Another part is that Sharon Lewis is the only person to have ever been disciplined by LSU for not following the Title IX policy, despite the fact that she had been reporting Miles, reporting retaliation by her bosses, and reporting different athletes and allegations against them. When she was going through an Title IX investigation into her for not following that policy, she said that Virg Osberry and Miriam Seeger both told the investigators that she hadn't reported any incident to them. Miriam Seeger went so far as to say she had never reported any Title IX incident to them, which was just flat out untrue. Both of those two people have been suspended just recently, last month, in the light of the Hush Blackwell report that came out into the school, but both are now back at work and both are still in supervisory roles over her.
And I know you asked her in the article, you know, why would you continue to work under these conditions? And you point out she's a 19-year veteran of the staff. She was a track star at LSU, and she believed that by doing what she had been doing, in spite of the pain and difficulty, it would open doors for others. And you go ahead and quote her saying, "The same people are here. The same people who were treating me hostilely from day one of me reporting. It's still a hostile work environment for me. I still feel panic. I still feel isolated, and I don't feel protected." I mean, that's today. Am I hearing that correctly and reading that correctly?
That is today. That is, you know, her current situation. She's still working for these same people who she's now planning to file lawsuits against, including, I should add, a civil lawsuit under the federal RICO Act, which is used to dismantle organized crime rings. She's saying that her bosses systematically, ignored federal and state laws around Title IX requirements and reporting requirements, and that in and of itself amounted to, you know, corrupt act and racketeering. But she says, you know, she's always been in this to help pave paths for other women in football. She's experienced, you know, the harassment that she says she knows that other women will experience too. And she has stayed, she said, because not only does she love the school that she's been around for probably more than half of her life, but she felt she has a place there and a right to be there, and that other women have a right to be there. And so she's going to go back. She went back today into the same working environment that she said is so hostile for her.
Hmm. Kenny, I mean, she's central to this investigation. So am I assuming correctly she was interviewed by Hush Blackwell?
She was. And actually, she was very forthcoming to Hush Blackwell. I think she gave Hush Blackwell a lot of really key information about Les Miles and the sexual harassment allegations against him back in 2013. She was also trying to defend her own record because she had that disciplinary action on her file for violating the Title IX policy, even though most everyone in the school was violating that policy, and she was the only one disciplined for it.
I know this is not the end. We've read today that Ed Orgeron is sending a statement to this committee investigating it in the state house. Do you know of anything else going on other than that? And I mean, I realize you laid out a lot for us in terms of what she plans to file, but other than until she does, is anything else going on in this case?
Well, I think this story today about Sharon probably threw a wrench into some people's plans. There's a hearing Thursday scheduled at the legislature where Ed Orgeron was, you know, called to testify. Scott Woodward, the athletic director, was called to testify. So were Osbury and Seeger. It's sort of an open question who's even going to show up to this. It was already an open question, and I think now it's even more of an open question because there is potential litigation at play. But the lawmakers, I know, want answers, and they're determined to get them one way or another. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I will be attending the hearing Thursday, and we'll be reporting on how it goes.
Well, Kenny, thank you. You've been very gracious with your time. I don't want to say I know what you're going through. I don't know. I've been an investigative reporter investigating big-time schools, and it can be a very difficult and lonely existence. So my hat is off to you and your team, and we will continue to talk to you, I hope.
Thanks so much, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kenny. Great to have you on, and what an amazing story. We will digest what he said in a few minutes when we get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, we welcome you back. And we mentioned before we came on, as we were coming on, about the latest from USA Today, another blockbuster in the publication today by our next guest, Kenny Jacoby, under the heading LSU Athletic Director and Minister Claims Years of Harassment and Retaliation After Reporting Les Miles. Kenny Jacoby joining us now. Kenny, thank you very much. And before we even start, I read earlier today that you and your team that have been working on these stories have won a very prestigious Investigative Reporter National Award. And I know you're not in this to win awards, but I'm sure you have to be gratified that you are being recognized as opposed to being harassed by angry fans.
certainly feels good. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about this latest because you know, this to me goes to a different level. Let's talk a little bit about Sharon Lewis, the person that you quote in here. She's the Associate Athletic Director for Football Recruiting. Is she still in that position? And then I would like you to go through exactly what she told you.
Yes, so Sharon still is in the same position. She's an Associate Athletic Director for Football Recruiting. And she is preparing to file a series of lawsuits against her bosses, against the LSU Board of Supervisors, against Taylor Porter Law Firm in Baton Rouge, the former president, F. King Alexander, and just a slate of other people who she says have retaliated against her, harassed her, and abused her ever since she reported Les Miles for sexual harassment 8 years ago. Les Miles was obviously accused of sexually harassing student workers who worked for Sharon Lewis. And Sharon says that Miles himself and other people in her office have basically engaged in this years-long retaliation against her over the fact that she reported these issues.
Kenny, there's some pretty inflammatory incidents that you recall in this article. I'm not asking you, it's a too long, I mean, we would spend the rest of the day going through the entire article, but in terms of some of the most serious things that she alleges, would you discuss those with our audience?
Yeah, so Sharon said that since basically Les Miles' first week on the job, he was pressuring her to sexualize her staff of student workers and specifically to replace black workers on her staff with blonde white workers with large breasts. And when she would rebuff his efforts, he would get other people on the staff to pressure her into doing the same thing. And ultimately, he decided that he was going to take matters into his own hands and start personally interviewing them himself at night. This turned out to be a disaster right away, according to Sharon. She says that Miles, she had workers coming to her saying that Miles asked about their sex life in interviews, asked one of them if she was a virgin. And then it wasn't that long after that that student workers started coming to her and saying that Miles had sent them inappropriate text messages and made inappropriate sexual advances toward them. After that, after there was this investigation done by the Taylor Porter Law Firm that exonerated Miles, except they found his behavior to be inappropriate, just not prohibited sexual harassment under the law, she says that Miles continued to try and pressure her into, you know, hiring white blonde workers to her staff to attract football players. And that when she would report these issues to people in the office, her supervisors, they would basically tell her to go get another job somewhere else to just deal with Miles. And it got to the point where some of them were verbally abusing her. Some of them were trying to undermine her. She said that when she was running for the president of the Athlete Alumni Association, her boss, Virge Osberry, told staff or board members not to vote for her, tried to prevent them from giving her all the powers of the presidency. And just as recently as this fall, she said that Osberry told her she would never get promoted because Woodward is his boy and he would never meet with her.
Now, Scott Woodward, for those who are confused in this story, he is the new athletic director. Not new, he's been there a year and a half, maybe 2 years by now, and he replaced Joe Oliva. Let me read a comment that you got from her, and I want you to talk about this for a second. This is in your article today, and this is from Mrs. Lewis, and she says this. I'm quoting now. They get to lie, and they get to admit that they lied and come back to work. I mean, it's about we've got to set a standard there, and that's all. And you write that she was denied pay raises, promotions, ridiculed in front of her coworkers, told to find another job when she complained, and she did suffer a breakdown. She's still working there, though, right?
She is still working there, and she plans to continue working there. She's saying in that comment, I believe, what she's referring to is the fact that she said she had been instructed for her entire almost 20 years working there that she was to report any sort of Title IX related issue to Miriam Seeger and Virge Osberry, two people who are her supervisors. But she didn't learn until much later that those two weren't always reporting things that she would report to them onto the Title IX office. So they would sort of die at her supervisor level. So I think that is one aspect of what she says is lying on their parts. Another part is that Sharon Lewis is the only person to have ever been disciplined by LSU for not following the Title IX policy, despite the fact that she had been reporting Miles, reporting retaliation by her bosses, and reporting different athletes and allegations against them. When she was going through an Title IX investigation into her for not following that policy, she said that Virge Osberry and Miriam Seeger both told the investigators that she hadn't reported any incident to them. Miriam Seeger went so far as to say she had never reported any Title IX incident to them, which was just flat out untrue. Both of those two people have been suspended just recently, last month, in the light of the Hush Blackwell report that came out into the school, but both are now back at work and both are still in supervisory roles over her.
And I know you asked her in the article, you know, why would you continue to work under these conditions? And you point out she's a 19-year veteran of the staff. She was a track star at LSU, and she believed that by doing what she had been doing, in spite of the pain and difficulty, it would open doors for others. And you go ahead and quote her saying, "The same people are here, the same people who were treating me hostilely from day one of me reporting. It's still a hostile work environment for me. I still feel panic. I still feel isolated, and I don't feel protected." I mean, that's today. Am I hearing that correctly and reading that correctly?
That is today. That is, you know, her current situation. She's still working for these same people who she's now planning to file lawsuits against, including, I should add, a civil lawsuit under the Federal RICO Act, which is used to dismantle organized crime rings. She's saying that her bosses systematically, ignored federal and state laws around Title IX requirements and reporting requirements, and that in and of itself amounted to, you know, corrupt act and racketeering. But she says, you know, she's always been in this to help pave paths for other women in football. She's experienced, you know, the harassment that she says she knows that other women will experience too. And she has stayed, she said, because not only does she love the school, the school that she's been around for probably more than half of her life, but she felt she has a place there and a right to be there, and that other women have a right to be there. And so she's going to go back. She went back today into this same working environment that she said is so hostile for her.
Hmm. Kenny, I mean, she's central to this investigation. So, am I assuming correctly she was interviewed by Hush Blackwell?
She was, and actually, she was very forthcoming to Hush Blackwell. I think she gave Hush Blackwell a lot of really key information about Les Miles and the sexual harassment allegations against him back in 2013. She was also trying to defend her own record because she had that disciplinary action on her file for violating the Title IX policy, even though most everyone in the school was violating that policy, and she was the only one disciplined for it.
I know this is not the end. We've read today that Ed Orgeron is sending a statement to this committee investigating it in the State House. Do you know of anything else going on other than that? And I mean, I realize you laid out a lot for us in terms of what she plans to file. But other than until she does, is anything else going on in this case?
Well, I think this story today about Sharon probably threw a wrench into some people's plans. There's a hearing Thursday scheduled at the legislature where Ed Ogeron was, you know, called to testify. Scott Woodward, the athletic director, was called to testify. So were Osbury and Seeger. It's sort of an open question who's even going to show up to this. It was already an open question, and I think now it's even more of an open question because there is potential litigation at play. But the lawmakers, I know, want answers, and they're determined to get them one way or another. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I will be attending the hearing Thursday, and we'll be reporting on how it goes.
Well, Kenny, thank you. You've been very gracious with your time. I don't want to say I know what you're going through. I don't know. I've been an investigative reporter investigating big-time schools, and it can be a very difficult and lonely existence. So my hat is off to you and your team, and we will continue to talk to you, I hope.
Thanks so much, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kenny. Great to have you on, and what an amazing story. We will digest what he said in a few minutes when we get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. And Houston is up next. Hello, Houston.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today? Hope you're having a blessed day.
Thank you, Houston. I am. Hope you are.
I just wanted to make a few comments about Bill Lumpkin.
Sure.
When I was in high school, I used to cover football games for him. They would send out people from different schools to cover games. And one thing I learned about him right off that separated him from a lot of people is he really cared about people. A lot of these writers nowadays, you know, they don't really care about people. Their egos are bigger than their IQs.
You know something, Houston, I'm fortunate that I worked in the newspaper business, not at its heyday, but certainly before it collapsed. And the reason why that is true is you couldn't, when you were covering, if you know, I don't know, let's say you know, you pick a high school in Birmingham. You know, if I had to do a story about somebody at Gardendale High School, you would go to Gardendale High School. You'd check in. You'd meet the principal. You'd go see the coach. Today, you basically, you don't even have to call them. You just text the coach a couple of questions, and you never have to interact. And that's a big difference. And Bill knew everybody, and everyone knew him. And I found that out as a 23-year-old reporter when we went up, no matter where we went. Bill could walk in. There was not an office in the state of Alabama that Bill could not just show up, walk in, and see the person. And that's how he did it. He said, no, you don't call. Don't give them a chance to say no. Just show up.
You know what else about him? Some people walk up and you say, oh, my God, there comes Bill. I hope he don't see me. But on him, you say, there's Bill. Boy, I'm glad he's coming up. I really want to talk to him.
He loved people. He loved having a good time. I mean, I cannot tell you how many trips I took with Bill, and we'd walk into some rundown diner in Childersburg, Alabama, and he knew the owner, he knew the cook, he knew the story behind everyone. And I know some of this still exists. I'm not trying to take us back to the 60s or even farther. Right. We're doing great in a lot of ways right now, but it is a lost era. And when someone like that goes, there's no one really that can replace them.
No, but Chris Fowler and Jim Nance are like that. You know, they really care about people. We got some other news here today. Shorty White passed away. You remember the legendary coach at Banks High School in
absolutely.
Alabama?
Yeah, sure. I knew Shorty. I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that. That is so sad.
Yeah, it just happened a while ago.
No, he was a fantastic coach. I appreciate you sharing that information with us, Houston, and our best to the coach's family. That is really sad. What an outstanding coach he was. I'm almost afraid to answer the phone right now the way things are going. Somebody, more bad news. Let's talk to John next in Georgia. Hey, John, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just wanting to get your comments about the way that Tennessee's starting out this year. I'm a real big Tennessee fan, you know. We got all these new coaches and everything, and, the quarterbacks, they're saying that, they're getting up to speed and everything, and, they're saying that actually we're having a real good spring practice. So what's your thoughts about
it? Yeah, John, I hear good things. I hear pretty good things as well, and we're going to speak in a few minutes to Blake Topmeyer, who covers the team for the Knoxville News Sentinel. How about Matt in Austin, Texas? Hey, Matt.
Hey, Paul. Hope you and your family had a happy Easter.
Thank you. We did. Appreciate you asking.
I've called you up once a year for a while now and said, hey, do you hear anything about the NCAA investigation of Baylor? So as I was watching Scott Drew and his team celebrate their well-deserved and hard-earned championship last night, I couldn't help thinking of some of the victims of what went on at Baylor. And I sure wish that CBS would have found a way to, ask Mark Emmert, hey, Mark, we're here to celebrate Baylor winning, and it's very great and all of that. Hey, by the way, what's going on with the investigation of Baylor, Mark?
Yeah, well, first of all, you don't ever expect a difficult question to be asked at an event like that, okay?
I know they won't, but just the hypocrisy of the NCAA. So I guess, I guess there's no consequences to what Baylor did. I mean, none of these kids.
Yeah, I said it years ago.
I just wondered if you're the parent or one of the victims of what went on at Baylor, the people's reaction to watching the NCAA, present trophies to Baylor and, all the money that Baylor's going to make off this tournament. It's probably a little bit of a bittersweet moment for those people.
I bet it is. Matt, I frankly thought they should have shut the football program down there about 5 years ago. But as of now, I don't think anything's happened other than the coach losing his job.
Well, I think you're right. And the hypocrisy of the NCAA knows no bounds.
No, it continues to amaze me. The hypocrisy of everything, really, is at a new level. Hey, thanks for the call. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.